Hey friend, welcome to Integrative Medicine for Energy and Health. Are you struggling with low energy, excessive weight, chronic fatigue, imbalanced hormones, or body aches and pains that are robbing you of enjoying life? If you're ready to take the guesswork out of living a healthier life, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Rikesia. I'm a mom, honorably retired Air Force veteran, award-winning author, social worker, and Christian alternative medicine provider. For years, I tried improving my health through conventional medicine and nothing worked until I finally found a simple strategy that was easy and fun. This podcast will provide you with natural ways to increase energy, lose weight, regulate hormones, and improve your mood. If you're ready to live, look, and feel better, grab your favorite cup of herbal tea and let's jump in. Hello and welcome to the Integrative Medicine for Energy and Health podcast. I'm your host, Rikesia McMillan, and I am so excited about our show today. You know, one of the things that women often touch on when we talk about health and wellness has to do with sleep and hormones. And today we have an expert on our show. She's been with us before. Her name is Shauna Robbins. And for those of you who are new to Shauna, I'm just going to read a little bit about her and then we're going to dive right in. So Shauna Robbins, she is a national board certified health and wellness coach. She graduated from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. She's the CEO of Kia Health and Wellness. Her focus is on supporting highly successful executive women leaders on their journey to optimizing sleep, improving their productivity, and create lifelong wellness. She lives with her family in Santa Barbara, California. So Shauna, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. It's nice to be back here.
Oh, I am so elated to have you with us. And for those of you that didn't get a chance to hear Shauna the first time we recorded podcast episode 98. And by far, that has been one of my most favorite shows that I have done as a podcaster because of the information that Shauna shared in that show about sleep and its connection to Alzheimer's, dementia, and mental health affecting women. And so, Shauna, with the work that you do as a sleep expert, a wellness coach, how did you get on the path of getting to the place where you are now?
That's such a big question. You know, my wellness journey started back in my early 30s. I'm almost 52 now. And so almost about 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I had two little kids at home. I was working full time. And it was a diagnosis that was such a shock for me. It just sort of came out of the blue. And it just really rocked my world, turned things upside down. At that point in time, you know, given that I was in my early 30s, I pretty much thought I was invincible, right? It was like, I was a superwoman, totally suffering from the superwoman syndrome. I thought I could just do it all. And in the meantime, my body decided to tell me otherwise. And I wasn't eating very well, and I wasn't sleeping very well, and I wasn't taking care of myself, and my stress level was through the roof. And when I got this diagnosis, it just basically took the wind out from underneath me. And I realized that if I didn't start taking care of myself and if I didn't start prioritizing my needs and what was good for my body and what I needed to really do to take care of my health, I wasn't going to be around to see my little kids grow up. And that was enough to just sort of shake me upside down and have me figure out what I needed to do to reprioritize my own life, my own sleep, my own nutrition. I mean, I was like the mom that, you know, would work all day and then come home and make macaroni and cheese for the kids and like take three bites of it out, you know, before I put it on their plate and, you know, made sure that they had carrots and made sure that they had, were eating nutritious meals. In the meantime, I was like starving myself or eating junk food or drinking too much wine at night and then not being able to fall asleep or waking up three or four times, not exercising regularly. Because of course I thought that exercise was like what to fit in my jeans, right? I didn't think that it actually had like a value to my body other than like something vanity based. So when all of this happened to me and I thought, okay, I need to create a lifestyle that will make sure that I never, ever get cancer again, which, you know, at this point, almost 20 years, I'm there. But I didn't know what that looked like. So when I did a deep dive into food, antioxidants, lifestyle changes, all different kinds of nutritional values of things I wasn't, you know, prioritizing before, that's when I found my way to IIN. I got my degree in health coaching, and then I got my board certification, and I wrote my first book, and then I wrote my second book. And it, as soon as I wrote my first book, my father was actually diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease at the age of 62. And so that was another wake up call. I was able to use the lifestyle changes and things that I learned now being a functional nutritionist to be able to help him in his fight against this disease. And I talk about that in the book. And I talk about that. I know I talked about that on our last podcast. And so that sort of just continued my trajectory of teaching others how to take good care of themselves so they either prevent disease or can help stop an illness, you know, like what I dealt with, and just have longevity, have a quality of life. That's what now in my 50s, I realize this whole concept of authentic aging is about, you know, really enjoying the life that you're in, this second half of life, what I call the third spark. This is really about leaning into all the amazing things that this second half of life can bring you: freedom, caring less about, you know, making sure that other people's needs come before your own, actually being able to stand up for yourself, put down better boundaries, being able to work at a job that you love, being able to follow, you know, your passion, find a purpose, you know, all of these things. As women, we just get better and better and better as we age, especially if we can take care of ourselves in our 30s and 40s, your 50s and beyond just become just this amazingly beautiful time of authentic aging.
Oh, you just shared so many things, Shauna. And I think one of the main things that I hear like you expressing is just hope. Because a lot of times, Shauna, when people hear the diagnosis of you have cancer, like that's a very scary you know, situation to be in. Oh my goodness. And so showing individuals that the lifestyle changes when you give the body what it needs, it has the ability to heal. Right. Restore, repair, recover. What did that look like for you, Shauna?
So for me, like I said, it was really figuring out, you know, I always say that, you know, every woman has a list. And I was not even on my own list, really. It was like everybody else came before me. And everybody else's needs, from my clients to my boss to my husband, my kids, my sister, my mother, everybody. And so the first step was to put myself on that list and as close to the top as I possibly could. And that took a big mindset shift, because I really think I took a lot of pride in being this martyr mom, in making sure that I was, you know, everything for everybody else and not needing anything. I didn't need to ask for help. I didn't need to delegate. I didn't need anybody to do, I did everything. And I realized that mindset is what set me up to get sick in the first place. And so really adopting a life where I started to receive more instead of just constantly overgiving and burning myself up. So there was that. There was a lot of like shifting my priorities. And then of course there were like the nuts and bolt things, like making sure that I was doing what I could do to support my health as far as exercise goes. Like I said before, I thought it was a vanity thing, right? Now we all know that that's not the case, right? Exercise is one of the fundamental pillars of good health and well-being, good mental health, good sleep, you know, good stress reduction. It's making sure that your muscles are strong so that you have injury prevention as you age. I mean, all of these things, exercise is a big part of that. So making sure that I move my body every day, and then making sure that I made better health choices with what I put in my mouth. Because there's only, when you get cancer, when you get that diagnosis, and I hope that none of your listeners have had to go through this, but if they have, they can maybe relate to this. Like, you feel so out of control. And all you want to do is just try to control something. And so for me, it was like, I could learn and I could teach and then I could do. And that was it. Everything else, I had to give over to a higher power. I didn't know if I was meant to continue on in this life or not, but I just know that the things that I could do, I could, you know, make sure that my diet was full of antioxidants like berries and turmeric and leafy green vegetables. And I could make sure that I was, you know, eating enough wild-caught fish every week and lean, you know, grass-fed meats, because that was something that I really needed, was more protein. I was really struggling with not enough protein. And I find that with a lot of women I coach, they just don't eat enough protein. And then it makes you crave sugary, salty, carby things. And so, you know, really making sure I was getting enough protein, enough vegetables, enough berries. And I just started making myself protein shakes. It was like the easiest thing in the world, right? But I'd never done it before. I'd make it for the kids, but I would never have it myself. And so as soon as I bought myself one of those NutriBullets, and as soon as I just started packing it with avocado and nuts and greens and, you know, berries and protein powder, and it was like amazing how much the body just started to respond by having more energy to work out, by having deeper sleep at night, which of course then made my brain feel better, made my body feel better. I started feeling more gratitude. I would do these gratitude walks in the afternoon. I would take a break from work. And when my kids were at home, I had one of those mother's helpers, like a 12-year-old girl that lived in the neighborhood, and she would come over to the house and she would play with the kids in the afternoon. And I would do a gratitude walk, and I would walk around for 30 minutes and I would think about everything that I was so grateful for. And I would say my prayers and I would just feel so divinely connected. And all of this healing is what led me to where I am today. And this is a practice. This wasn't just like I did this for 6 months until I got a, hey, you're cancer free, you know, diagnosis. This was like, I'm committed to doing this for the rest of my life, because being around and watching my babies grow was, you know, the most important thing in my life at that time. And now my kids are in their 20s and I'm just like, so, so grateful. Again, it's all about the gratitude, right? So grateful. Yeah. For the journey. In my book, I talk about the gifts of cancer, and this is one of them, right? Is that I found this gratitude practice and I found my way back into spirituality and prayer and vegetables and into myself. I was so disconnected from myself, and I found my way back into me, which has really made a difference for me now in my 50s.
Yeah. One of the things that you said, Shauna, and I was literally just talking about this with another woman today. I'm reading a book called Balance by Tore Roberts. And he's talking about being on an airplane and you're hearing the stewardess or the recording giving that safety briefing before the plane is taking off. And it says, you've got to put your mask on first before you take care of your children and anyone and everything else. And so we've had that so backwards, Shauna, that we take care of as women. We are, you know, we're created to be those nurturers. So we want to take care of kids. We want to take care of husband. We want to take care of everyone and everything. And we do tend to put ourselves on the very last of the list. But knowing that we must shift our mindset, like you said, Shauna, that it takes a great mindset shift to put ourselves at the top of the list, to note that that is not selfish, that that is one of the highest forms of self-love and self-care, when we can take care of ourselves, because then we will have life and nurturing and love to give. And we'll bring the most authentic version of who we are to those that we love.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, actually nature aligns with this actually really nicely, because one of the things about menopause is when you start to lose your estrogen, you start to lose this whole, I have to take care of everybody, this whole superwoman syndrome thing. Biologically, it just sort of shuts off, right? When you no longer are able to procreate, the body's like, okay, well, this is no longer our fundamental thing of building the nest and taking care of the offspring and taking care of, so it's like, that's the one of the joys of midlife. I mean, it's the joy of being able to go, you know what? They're all good. Like, what do I want to do now? What's in it? What suits me? What lights me up? You know, what makes my heart sing? And nature completely supports women on this journey of finding yourself again and reprioritizing yourself. The only problem is if you've done a number to your health in your 30s and 40s, like I had, it makes it a little more challenging in your 50s when you're just like, I don't even know who I am, what I think, what I want to do. I'm so exhausted. My adrenal glands are so completely fried out that it's like, there's just no sense. And then you've got to just sort of rebuild yourself back up to that place. But I do think that nature really supports women in this transition between being the nurturing caregivers and then now all of a sudden finally having time for yourself.
And that is so good that you point that out, Shauna, because I never even looked at it in that context. And so it's just a natural part of who we are as women, that it's just part of the process and the change of life that we go through.
Yeah, I think it's one of the benefits of menopause. You know, people always talk about all the negatives of menopause, but I actually think that's one of the positives of menopause.
And you're right. The negativity that surrounds a lot of the conversation involving menopause, but some of the things that you've shared as far as taking a different outlook on it. And I love, I think it's Third Spark, right? Where we're getting a new spark of, can you share a little bit about that, Shauna?
So I'm rebranding my company from Kaya Health into Third Spark. And the reason being is because I really believe that a woman's life is different sections of her life. Some of it is hormonal. Some of it is just society and the roles that we play. But I think that we have, you know, at this point in time, I'm in my third spark and I coach a lot of women that are in their third spark. So the first spark would be like, you know, your teens to like your mid 20s, where you're just trying to establish yourself in the world, right? You've graduated from some sort of education system and you're trying to figure out who you are and what you believe in. And you've got a peer group around you, and do they fit you or do they not? Are you trying to live on your own, pay your own bills, feed yourself, be a responsible, start your adulting life, right? And then there's the second spark. And that second spark is from like your mid 20s to like your early 40s. And that is the building of the tribe. You're building your career, you're building your community, you're building your family if you decide to go that route, you're building your relationship with a partner or a spouse or whomever. And so that's this building phase. And so once that finishes, right around the early to mid 40s, all of a sudden, you know, perimenopause can start 10 years before menopause. So a lot of women start to experience perimenopause in their early to mid 40s and truly have no idea what is going on. And the doctors are like, we don't know, your tests look fine, everything's fine. And you're like, but my hair's falling out and I've gained 20 pounds and I don't sleep and I have no sex drive. And they're like, I don't know, it's all, you know, here, take an antidepressant. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous, right? But this is the beginning of this third spark. And so I think the more women realize that this is just a totally natural, just a transformational journey that we go on, this third, it's like a third act, right? In the third act in a play or in your third spark in life, sometimes everything can just fall to pieces. Yeah. And, but it does so for a reason. It's like the butterfly, right? When the caterpillar goes into the cocoon, it doesn't just sit in the cocoon and grow wings. The whole thing literally melts down into a jelly, right? Mm-hmm. And reforms itself inside the cocoon to then become the butterfly. That's what the third spark is. Sometimes there's a level of disconnect where you realize maybe this job isn't the right one for me. Maybe this town I live in isn't the right one for me. Maybe this partnership, this marriage or whatever, you know, friendships, family members, you know, maybe I've been tolerating. What have I been tolerating for the last few years or 10 years or 20 years that I no longer want to tolerate anymore? That becomes the third spark. It really becomes the, you know, what is it that I want to do that lights me up time in your life? And it can be bumpy or it can be smooth. It really depends on how authentic you've been living up until this point.
So it's really a time of self-discovery all over again, the things that really, that we want to move into as women, because we've taken care of so many. But when we get into that third spark, which I absolutely love that it's really a time of self-discovery into newer things and really accessing that most authentic version of who we are.
Right, because that's what'll bring deep joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. The more you can just be in your own skin and love every inch of it and live a life that feels like your life, a life that is your values and represents you and the things that you care about, the better you are, the happier you are. And that's what this planet needs. This planet needs women that Yes. are happy and light up this world. We women are so needed right now, especially women that can bring their light and power for goodness to this world.
Amen. Amen. I love that. And so I want to talk a little bit about your book, which I have absolutely fallen in love with, Shauna, Powerful Sleep. And it just was really transformative to me. And I especially love the fact, too, that you have a piece in there about hormones and sleep, because a lot of the women that I come across, those are some of the top things that they're dealing with, Shauna. Like, they are going through hormonal changes and they cannot sleep and they just want some relief. They want answers. And so can you kind of
unpack? Yeah, because it happened to me.
Yes.
I know how they feel. It's so hard. It's 100% happened to me. Has it happened to you yet?
It's not yet.
Oh, you're lucky. You're lucky. Maybe you're a unicorn. It's possible. Very possible. Yeah. You know, the sleep is one of the first things to go when perimenopause hits. That's a lot of when women actually enter perimenopause, is they're like, my sleep just disappeared. Or maybe it was like a slow decline from like their late 30s all the way into their early to mid 40s. You know, it's like they used to be able to sleep 7 hours and then now it's like they barely get five, and it's only going to get worse too, unless you figure out what it is that the body needs. And that's really what this is about, right? Sleep is just a symptom that the body is needing something that you're not providing for it. And so I tell most women that I work with, it's like, because the women get anxiety around not sleeping, night after night after night. And I get it. When you're laying awake staring at the ceiling for 3 or 4 hours, either before you go to bed or in the middle of the night, it's frustrating. And you feel like you don't know what has happened. You don't know where it went. You don't know how to get it back. Again, it's this control issue, right? And so what I try to do is, first, and the number one thing I would say to all your listeners that are listening is, or watching, is you need to get blood work done. You should be doing your blood work once a year anyway, but you need to get blood work done. And here are the things that you need to have checked. And sometimes you're going to have to advocate for yourself, because doctors are not going to do it. I had one client who was 50 and asked to have blood work done, and the doctor refused to do a hormone panel on her because said that there's no reason to do a hormone panel because, you know, you're cycling every month, so your hormones are going to be different. And she said, but I've told you I haven't had a period in a year. And he still refused to give her a hormone panel. So she had to find a different doctor. So get your blood work done and make sure you advocate for yourself. If your doctor won't give you what you ask for, this is your body. You have the right to know what's happening to your body. So make sure you stand up for yourself. But you want to get a hormone panel done. That includes estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and DHEA. Those are all very important. The second thing you want to do is have your vitamin D levels checked. A lot of women are very, very low on vitamin D. And when they are, not only does it set them up for a risk of breast cancer and ovarian cancer, but it also will impact your sleep. And it's one of the easiest things to fix. That is the first go-to for me. So if your vitamin D levels are under 50, 60 is the perfect gold standard, between 60 and 80. But if they're under that, you know, you need to supplement with some sort of good quality vitamin D. And then vitamin B12, that's the next thing I always look at. I always have women do a vitamin B12. I want to know, because vitamin B12 is very important at regulating your sleep cycles. It's also very important for your brain health. So if you're low in vitamin B12, again, that's an easy fix, right? It's just a little supplement every day. It can make a huge difference in your adrenal glands, your energy level, and your sleep at night. So once we look at the blood work, then there's also a thyroid panel. A lot of doctors don't like to run a thyroid panel. I always like to see what's going on. But typically, if your sleep is impaired, most likely your thyroid's impaired, which is why when women come to me and say, I don't sleep and I'm losing my hair and I'm gaining weight, and I'm like, yeah, here we are again. It's this sleep, adrenal, thyroid combination here that women have going on. And one of the reasons why the body is so impacted during menopause, and I cannot believe how many women don't know this, but I'm really glad that you're giving me the opportunity to talk about it, is that when your ovaries stop producing sex hormones, when they stop producing, estrogen and testosterone, and then of course after the egg is released, that's what creates progesterone. So when that whole process stops during perimenopause, kind of starts to sputter, and then menopause, it's done. Your adrenal glands take over making your sex hormones. And if your adrenal glands are already compromised due to a lifestyle of chronic stress where you have too much cortisol, or maybe you don't have enough cortisol. I see a lot of women that are just, their adrenal glands are so burned out, they're not even making enough cortisol. Because cortisol is fundamentally more important to the body than your sex hormones, right? You got to be able to run from a bear and survive before you can make a baby. The body has this hierarchy of hormones. So when this transition happens to menopause and your ovaries stop working, your adrenal glands have to pick up the production of everything. And oh my gosh, it's just sometimes too much for them and they come crashing down. And that's when you see just chronic insomnia, and you see all sorts of other things that happen as well. You see low blood pressure, women get dizzy, they have massive salt craving, they have all these other things that happen. But the fatigue is just really becomes really, really intense. And the only way, to support the adrenal glands, you can do it through diet. You have to make lifestyle changes. You know, I do a whole adrenal protocol with my clients, but that switch right there is really, really important for women to be aware of. So I always tell women that are younger in their 30s and 40s, whatever you can do to baby your adrenal glands, not have that second cup of coffee, not have that afternoon cup of coffee, not have that glass of wine at night, don't drink soda that has caffeine in it, or just burn your adrenal glands out with constant levels of stress, chronic stress. It's really going to help you as you age and as your hormones change. And it's really going to help to support your sleep as you age.
And one of the things that you mentioned, because there were a couple of women that knew that we were going to be doing this interview, so they sent some questions in.
Oh, good.
And she, one of the questions was regarding dizziness, Shauna. And so she has not been able to sleep. Her doctors have been trying to prescribe her medication after medication, as you shared, address the issue. But she was asking, is dizziness a symptom that could be associated with lack of sleep?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, the brain fog and dizziness that come from lack of sleep. You can also be dizzy if a doctor's trying to give you an Ambien or a benzodiazepine to sleep, and then that has a side effect, right? That can make you dizzy. But fundamentally, what I see when women have low adrenal output is they're dizzy because they have low blood pressure. These two things go hand in hand. And so one of the best things you can do is get up in the morning and have some salt or have some electrolytes in a big glass of water, and stop drinking coffee. I know it's so hard to do, but the sooner you can get off coffee, the sooner your adrenal glands are going to be able to heal themselves. So if that means that you can have, some sort of herbal tea, or like the mushroom coffees, those are great functional mushroom coffees. Even a matcha latte in the morning is going to have a lot less caffeine for you than having some coffee. But that tends to be really challenging for women, especially if they haven't slept and they're totally exhausted. They're most likely leaning on caffeine products to boost them up during the day. And all you're doing is just fueling the problems with your adrenal glands. So and the other thing that I really like first thing too, besides the salt or the electrolytes in the water first when you wake up, is having some protein. A lot of women fast, they don't eat breakfast, which is fine if your adrenal glands are working well, but if they're not, it becomes too stressful for them. They need to have a level of protein. And women should be having, especially perimenopausal, postmenopausal, should be having, 100 to 120 grams of protein a day. It's a lot of protein. Yeah. So if you don't eat animal meat, then your protein is going to come in the form of beans and tofu and tempeh and miso and those sort of things, or even protein powders, if you can do vegetarian protein powders like pea powders. And you really, really have to make sure you're having enough protein. I guarantee you that if she could do that for a couple of weeks, this is part of my adrenal protocol, plus start taking B vitamins, methylated B vitamins to help really nurture the adrenal glands, she's going to start to feel better. Now, assuming that there isn't anything else underlying, again, it goes back to the blood work, right? Like I would want to see her white cell count. I would want to see, you know, I would want to see other things. I would want to see her red blood cell count. I would want to see her iron levels, because sometimes having low iron can make you feel dizzy. You know, I would look at these other things as well to get a good picture of sort of what's happening underneath, and then be able to work with her on these lifestyle changes. But yeah, if you're getting dizzy and you've been told that you have low blood pressure, that is 100% an indication that your adrenal glands are in burnout.
And that's so good that you're providing the holistic things that women can do, versus you don't have to take a pill or be on that prescription drug. There are alternatives and lifestyle changes that can help to move you into that lane of sleeping in a very healthy way.
Yeah. And the more you support your adrenal glands, the better your sleep is going to get, especially as you age.
And so for that woman who's listening, Shauna, who's really thinking about sleep and doesn't really have like a sleep regimen, like her schedule is all over the place, she's up at night, she's doing all the things, like, where's one of the first places that she could start to really get on track with this?
You know, the body loves to be able to have a routine. I mean, that's the whole thing why it's so hard to give up coffee, right? It's not that it's really the coffee, it's the routine of getting up in the morning and drinking something that's brown and warm. And, you know, it's like, our body is hardwired to love routine. And so if you don't have a sleep routine, you're actually stressing your body out. So one of the best things you can do is go to bed at the same time and wake up at the same time as much as you possibly can. Obviously, there's going to be inconsistencies in that. If you have small kids, if you have a pet, if you have to travel for work, like, this is not a perfect science, but the more you can get your body into this consistent routine, the happier you're going to be, the happier your digestion is going to be, the better, the more stable your blood sugar is going to be, your blood pressure is going to be more stable. The body's just going to feel safe. And that's what this is about. Routine is safety for the body. You might not like it. You might want to stay up late and watch Netflix, or, you know, you might want to, you know, have quiet time in the morning in the house, but maybe what your body needs is this consistent, like, you know, ideally 7 to 9 uninterrupted hours of sleep. If that means you have to go to sleep before your partner, maybe you do. If that means you have to get up before your kids, maybe you do, right? But having that consistency is huge. The next thing I would say is really important is making sure you don't eat or drink anything 3 hours before bed. And when I say anything, I don't mean like a sip of water if you have to take some medication or something, but I can't tell you how many women don't hydrate enough during the day. And then all of a sudden they're so thirsty at 2 o'clock in the morning or at 11 o'clock at night, and they drink like a 32 ounce water bottle. And then they don't understand why they have to get up and go to the bathroom 2 or 3 times a night. You know, that is not the time to hydrate. It is not the time to eat. It is not the time to hydrate 3 hours before bed. That's something you should be doing throughout the day. And come 7 o'clock in the evening, or whenever you finish dinner, 7:30, 6 o'clock, whatever, you're done. You don't have any alcohol. You don't have any ice cream. You don't have any cookies. You don't eat any popcorn. I mean, it's like done. And so then when your body gets in bed, there's not a competing source of energy. It doesn't have to digest your food and rest and restore your brain and your heart and repair your cells. Digestion takes a lot of effort for the body. And so it needs to not be happening at nighttime. You have to let your body rest and repair itself. It can't do both at the same time.
And that's so good, Shauna, because I think we're in a culture where, you know, sometimes the snacking, you got to have a little something before you go to bed, but that causes the body to still continue to work throughout the entire night versus resting and repairing and restoring what we really need.
Yeah, that's a really big sort of elephant in the living room, right? For a lot of women, is that they'll get a sugar craving or a sweet craving, or they'll want a second glass of wine, or they'll want a nightcap because they feel like alcohol relaxes them so that they can fall asleep. But actually what it's doing is interrupting your REM cycles, and it's going to cause you to wake up. Not only is it a diuretic, but it also has sugar in it, which is going to cause your blood sugar to go up and then crash at about 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're going to just lay there and be like, why am I awake? I don't understand. So, you know, anything that you can do to dial it back earlier in the evening and then stop is really, really important and supportive to get a good night's sleep. The other things I would say too, my other two favorite things are making sure that your room is cool, like really, really, really cold. You know, whether you have to sleep with a window open, whether you have to have a fan on you, whether you, you know, have to turn the AC on, or for me, I just tape up my heating vent. So the house gets heat in the wintertime or even in this early spring weather, but my bedroom is frigid. Like the kind of thing where like I have to put socks on to walk on the on the tile floors in my bedroom because it's so cold. But that's the only way I can sleep. So it's really, really important to have a cool and a dark bedroom. If you can see your hand in front of your face, if you're in your bed and you can see your hand, your room's too light. You need to have blackout shades or you need to have an eye mask or something. It's really important. And then ambient noises. If you can run some sort of white noise machine and my goodness, charge your phone in another room. You do not need your phone next to your bed. You do not need the EMFs in your bedroom. You know, buy an old fashioned alarm clock that you can get at the drugstore or wherever, like that you can plug into the wall. I mean, you do not need your phone distracting you during the night. You know, charge it in the kitchen or the living room or the bathroom or some other place, but not in your room and not next to your bed.
No, that's so good that you mentioned that, Shauna, because we are competing with technology, but not realizing how much that's impacting our health. And so even in my bedroom, I have like a clock that I have. It's a digital one, but it's like from the 90s.
Yeah. Perfect.
The thing still works.
It's That's what
like
I have too.
The best, because I'm not having to compete with technology, because sometimes when you put it in your hand, you're just going to get sucked in some way. And so giving these strategies that are simple, creating that sleeping haven, sanctuary is so important for our overall health.
Very important. And these are small things that you can do, but it's these small changes that become very powerful over time. Mm-hmm. So all of these little tweaks, right? Maybe getting an eye mask, maybe getting some blackout shades at Target or wherever, you know, the other thing I really love is a weighted blanket, and you can find those all over the place. You can find them at Walmart. You can find them at Ross, you know, they don't cost very much money. And if your room is cold like mine is, but you still want to be warm and cozy, you just put a weighted blanket on. And it just calms your nervous system down. It's like sleeping underneath a hug. And it works great for kids. It works great for adults. It's one of my favorite sleep hacks is to have a weighted blanket.
Oh, but these are all so, so good. And so for the women that are listening and they're just clinging on to the words that you are speaking, Shauna, where can they find your book, Powerful Sleep, and where can they find you?
Well, I don't have my new website, which is thirdsparkhealth.com, should be up in the next few days. So that is where I recommend that they go, and they will be able to find copies of everything. And you will also be able to find a link to my program. The Midlife Tune-Up will be there as well. My book, Powerful Sleep, will be there. Of course, it's on Amazon, but I always offer it for free on my website because, you know, sleeping is universal. Women deal with hormone changes universally. And I really, truly, like I told you before, believe that this is information that all women should have access to, which is why I put it up for free. I'm on YouTube, constantly talking about sleep and hormones and things that women can do on YouTube. Instagram, I try to provide as much information as I can because I'm really on a mission to help millions of women sleep well and age in a healthy, authentic way and live a life that they find is fulfilling and purposeful and joyful and doing what it is they want to do. And watching my dad get sick at the age of 62 and having to, you know, lose his entire, you know, what he thought he was working towards, this idea that, oh, I'll retire when I'm 65. That never happened because he had Alzheimer's. And all of a sudden his life was turned upside down with that. And now by 20, actually the statistics are shocking. By 2030, there will be more women in the United States diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia than breast cancer. It is the fastest growing illness for women. And lack of sleep is a huge part of that. Menopause is a huge part of that, right? Not having enough estrogen in your brain is a huge part of that. There's all these things. that lead to that. And then of course the negative feedback loops of poor choices of too much sugar, too much alcohol, too much caffeine, you know, all of these things that come from being exhausted all the time, play into having, you know, elevated inflammation levels, which play into neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's disease. So it's not just lack of sleep, but
One of the things that you wrote in your book regarding Alzheimer's, diabetes, cardiovascular health, you shared, Shauna, that these are lifestyle diseases, right?
Diabetes.
And so many times we don't really tie that in, but if we would just take those proactive measures to make those changes in our lives, these things are preventable.
Right.
They're preventable.
What the gene expression for some of these is only at 10%. Like if you've had somebody in your family that has heart disease and you genetically carry, you know, one of the APOE4 markers for Alzheimer's disease, you know, you really have between a 10 and 20% chance of that gene expressing itself. 80% of that are your lifestyle choices. So what the quote is, you know, that genetics loads the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. And so if you already know that you have these things in your family, I really hope that this becomes a really big wake-up call for you to just start making these small but powerful changes in your life. Make small changes to your diet, eat more fruits and vegetables that are colorful, you know, drink more water during the day, drink less soda, which we call liquid death, you know, in nutrition school. Drink more water, less caffeine, you know, more prayer, more gratitude, more peacefulness, you know, just really finding the things in your life that bring you peace of mind and can lower that chronic stress level. It's really going to go a long way in helping you stay healthy as you age.
Wow, Shauna, this has been a wonderful, amazing conversation that we have had on today. It's always just a pleasure to be able to host you. And I just want to encourage every woman to visit Shauna's website. Can you give the website address again, Shauna?
Third Spark Health.
Yeah, Third Spark Health. Download the book, Powerful Sleep. It is going to transform your life. Now, she is providing a free resource for you because she is so passionate about this. We cannot afford not to have this resource in our hands as women. And so thank you so much, Shauna, for being my guest on the show today.
Thank you for having me back again. It was such a pleasure to see you again.
Always, always, always. And I just wish you well in the work that you're doing just to help us as women to live those healthier lives. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again to everything you're doing too. You know, just keep spreading the light in the world. That's what we need.
There we go. Thank you so much, Shauna.